to live a perfect life. He came to be the living word our life. He came to die so we'd be reconciled. He came to rise to show his power and might. That's why we praise him. That's why we sing.
With the song, Praise Him Every Day. Well, welcome all of you to worship on this Passion Sunday. This particular Sunday, this year, we're emphasizing the Passion of our Lord Jesus rather than Palm Sunday. This is the traditional day in which Jesus entered Jerusalem. And you know that this is the last week in our Lord's life as he entered Jerusalem and began the journey to the cross. So, I want to make a couple notes about our service after I welcome all of the visitors and those who have come home from faraway countries, meaning south. And it's just great to have you here and back in the church family. So, there are a couple announcements. Let me get those first. The first one is that the choir practice on Wednesday is at 6 o'clock, not 7. And the second note is that the women's devotion for this Monday has been postponed to next Monday. So please note that also. And then please read the other announcements as you are able during the service. So today's worship is a gift from Walter Wangeren Jr. He is an ELCA pastor, but a professor at Valparaiso University in Indiana. He has been a prolific writer and speaker and teacher for our church for many years. Some of you may remember he was the primary writer for the Lutheran magazine, editorial writer, and just a great gift to the church. He's written this worship entitled The Cry of the Whole Congregation. So this morning, it's really important that you have in your bulletin this insert, which is our worship this morning. And there is no audience for this service. We are all participants. So when you see the assigned people, that's your part. And we hope you will play your part proudly. And then toward the end of this service, it splits up. There are men and women, so note that. And step up and do your part. So I want to thank several people who have worked hard putting together this dramatic presentation of the Passion. They're listed in your bulletin. Steve Lackner is our narrator. Sandy Pullen, part of Peter. Sherry Whipple takes the part of Judas. Vel Benton takes the part of Pilate and a couple others. George Smith on the drum. Susan Samuelson as our liturgical dance. Jim Christensen did a great job of pulling the music together. Patty Smith is playing the part of a parent. And also Jim on the solo. And then finally, a really big thanks to Jeannie Rizowitz, who was our director and choreographer, if you will, for this whole thing. So thank you very much to all of you. Before we start, I want to ask all of us to just sit for a moment in silent prayer. We heard on the media this morning coming over that two Coptic churches in Alexandria, Egypt were bombed this morning, and several people have been killed and lots of people injured. They think it's a terrorist thing. So let's just sit for a moment in silent prayer, asking God to comfort those who have been ravaged. Now you can set your bulletin aside and take out Cry of the Whole Congregation.
When Jesus drew near to Bethphage and Bethany, at the mount that is called Olivet, he sent ahead two of his disciples, saying, "Go into the village opposite. There you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever yet sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' you shall say, 'The Lord has need of it.'" So those who were sent went away and found it, as he had told them.
And they said, "The Lord has need of it." And they brought it to Jesus. And throwing their garments on the colt, they set Jesus upon it.
And as he rode along, they spread their garments on the road. As he was now drawing near at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and to praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying,
"Amen. And some of the Pharisees in the multitude cried to him, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples. They're calling you the Christ. Tell them to shut up."
He answered, "I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones themselves would cry out." And when he drew near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, "Would that even today you knew the things that make for peace. But now they are hid from your eyes. O Jerusalem, the days shall come upon you when your enemies will cast up a bank about you and surround you, and hem you in on every side, and dash you to the ground, you and your children within you. And they will not leave one stone upon another in you, because you did not know the time of your visitation."
O Jerusalem, you missed your time to sing. You missed your loving King when he came to bring you healing in his name and wholeness to the lame. You were blinded to his reign, so the children sang, "Hosanna to the Son of David, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Hosanna to the Son of David, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. To the King, to the King, to the King, to the King."
Now the Feast of Unleavened Bread drew near, which is called the Passover. And the temple priests were seeking how to put Jesus to death, for they feared the people.
Then Satan entered into Judas, called Iscariot, who was of the number 12. He went away and conferred with the temple priests and the offerers how he might betray him to them. And they were glad and engaged and to give him money. So he agreed and sought an opportunity to betray him to them in the absence of the multitude.
Then came the day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. So Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare the Passover for us, that we may eat it."
But he said to him, "Where, Lord, where will you have us prepared, and what are we to do?"
He said to them, "Behold, when you have entered the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him into the house which he enters, and tell the householder, 'The teacher says to you, where is the guest room? Where am I to eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he will show you a large upper room furnished. There make ready." And they went and found it as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. And when the hour came, he sat at table, and the apostles with him. And he said to them, "I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I shall not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I shall not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took the bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise the cup after supper, saying, This cup which is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. But behold, the hand of him who betrays me is with me on the table. For the Son of Man goes as it has been determined, but woe to that man by whom he is betrayed. He answered, He who has dipped his hand in this dish with me will betray me. Oh, it would have been better for that man if he had never been born.
Judas, who betrayed him, said, Is it I, Master?
Jesus said to him, You have said so.
Simon Peter was indignant, but not I, he said. And he declared, Though they all fall away, from you, I will never leave you.
Peter, truly I say to you, this very night, before the cock crows, you will deny me three times.
Peter said to him, Even if I must die with you, I will never deny you.
And he came out and went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives. And the disciples followed him. And when he came to the place, he said to them, Pray that you may not enter into temptation. And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed, Father, if thou art willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And when he rose from prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said to them, Why do you sleep? Rise and pray, that you may not enter into temptation.
Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, even the evil within ourselves.
While he was still speaking, there came a crowd, and the man called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He drew near to Jesus to kiss him.
But Jesus said to him, Judas, would you betray the Son of Man with a kiss?
Judas said, Hail, Master.
And one of them struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his right ear.
But Jesus said, No more of this. And he touched his ear and healed him. Jesus said to those who had come out against him, When I was with you day after day in the temple, you did not lay hands on me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness. Then they seized him and led him away, bringing him to the high priest's house.
Peter followed at a distance, and when they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. But he denied it, saying, "Woman, I do not know him." But Peter said, "Man, I am not."
An hour later, another insisted, saying, "Certainly this man also was with him, for he is a Galilean."
But Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you are saying."
And immediately while he was speaking, the cock crowed, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter.
And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the cock crows today, you will deny me three times." And he went out and he wept bitterly.
Now the men who were holding Jesus mocked him and beat him. They blindfolded him and demanded, and they spoke many other words against him, reviling him. When the day came, the assembly of the elders of the people gathered together and led him to their council.
And they said, "If you are the Christ, tell us."
But he said to them, "If I tell you, you will not believe. And if I ask you now, you will not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man shall be seated at the right hand of the power of God."
And he said, "Are you the Son of God then?"
And he said to them, "You say that I am."
And they said, "Blasphemy. What further testimony do we need? We have heard ourselves from his own lips. Blasphemy. Oh, blasphemy."
Then the whole company of them arose and brought him before Pontius Pilate.
And Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?"
And he answered him, "You have said so."
And Pilate said to the chief priest and the multitudes, "I find no crime in this man." And when Pilate heard that he was a Galilean of Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod,
where he was vehemently accused and treated with contempt and mocked, and arrayed in gorgeous purple, and then sent back again.
Pilate said to the rulers of the people, "You brought me this man as one who was perverting the people. And after examining him, behold, I did not find him guilty of any of the charges against him. Behold, nothing deserving death has been done by him. I will therefore chastise him and release him."
Obey, 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 obey.
What evil has he done? I found no crime in him deserving death. I'll chastise him. I'll release him.
And their voices prevailed.
So Pilate gave sentence that their demand should be granted. He released the man who had been jailed for murder, but Jesus he delivered up to their will.
But Jesus he delivered over to their will. They seized one Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country. They laid him on the cross, to carry it behind Jesus. But Jesus said to them, and said, Daughter of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming when they will say, Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never gave suck. For if they do this when the wood is green, what will happen when it dries?
Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble. Tremble, tremble. Were you there when they crucified my Lord?
Two others also, who were criminals, were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place which is called the skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right and one on the left.
Were you there when they nailed him to the tree? Were you there when they nailed him to the tree? Sometimes it causes me to tremble, tremble, tremble. Were you there when they nailed him to the tree?
And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
One of the criminals who were hanged with him railed at him, saying, Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us.
But the other one rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence, and we justly? But this man has done no wrong." And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom."
Give us our trespasses. Deliver us from evil.
And Jesus said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise."
Were you there when he cried out at the end? Were you there when he cried out at the end? Sometimes it causes me to tremble, tremble, tremble. Were you there when he cried out at the end?
It was now about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, while the sun's light failed, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Then Jesus, crying with a loud voice, said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And having said this, he breathed his last. And all the multitudes who had assembled to see the sight,
were you there when they laid him in the tomb? Were you there when they laid him in the tomb? Sometimes it causes me to tremble. Tremble, tremble. Were you there when they laid him in the tomb?
Now there was a man named Joseph from the town of Arimathea, a good man, a righteous man, one looking for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down and wrapped it in a linen shroud and laid him in a rock-hewn tomb where no one had ever yet been laid.
It was the day of preparation, and the Sabbath was beginning. On the Sabbath, they rested according to the commandment.